Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, March 16th, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Migrants Arrive in Midland. Local leaders left in the dark about facility. Facility could be open for months, leaders state. By Caitlin Randall. Local leaders said during a press conference on Monday that they were blindsided by the federal government's decision to open a facility in Midland County for about 700 unaccompanied child migrants. We literally knew nothing until, for me, it was early Sunday morning, Mayor Patrick Peyton said during a press briefing at the Bush Convention Center. It's the strangest, most backward, disrespectful thing I think I've seen in a long time. About 240 miners arrived at the Cotton Logistics Man Camp Sunday night, and 700 total are expected to be transported to the facility, according to County Judge Terry Johnson. Peyton said the children who will be at the man camp are boys between the ages of 13 and 17. Some of the boys have tested positive for COVID-19 and are being transported on separate buses from the other children, Peyton said. He said that if any of the minors needed medical attention beyond first aid, it will fall upon our hospital. Officials said they were told it will be a two-week process to send the minors to relatives living in the U.S., but they expected the facility will be open for several months. Representatives from Cotton Logistics said they signed a 90-day lease to the federal government with options for extensions, according to Johnson. The federal government will build a 10-foot security fence around the encampment, Johnson said. Midland County Sheriff David Kreiner said they would be increasing patrols in the area near the man camp. We can assure you that Midland County and its citizens will be protected in this crisis, he said. Kreiner said they were in the dark about migrants being transported to the county until the miners were about to arrive, he said. He said the sheriff's office spoke with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and U.S. Department of Health and Human Services on Sunday, but were not given any additional information about the situation. DHS and HHS will be responsible for security at the facility, officials said. Kreiner said they've heard speculation that some residents may protest at the man camp, but there have not been any protests yet. Peyton asked residents to make their voices heard at the federal level by contacting their representatives and refrain from protesting at the facility. He said, "The miners are victims of what's going on around them and pawns, and some are being used by human traffickers. The kids are innocent in this, but the federal government is not. So let's make sure our protests and our voices are directed where they need to be," he said. This is the Migrants page. This column is entitled, What They Said About the Midland Migrant Situation. These are quotes from several local politicians and administrators. The Biden administration's lack of communication, coordination, and notification of their plans to place unaccompanied migrant children in Midland without consent of state and local government officials is completely unacceptable. And I am demanding immediate answers from both HHS and the Biden administration. Our border is in crisis. President Biden's rhetoric and policies are undeniably incentivizing illegal mass migration. His refusal to acknowledge and properly respond to the crisis is overwhelming border states like Texas and putting the interior of the U.S. at even more risk of human trafficking as well as drug cartel and gang-related crimes. President Biden must immediately reverse his rhetoric and damaging policies and work together with Republicans to reinstate strong border security measures. I am on my way to El Paso today to meet with Border Patrol and get an on-the-ground update of the situation and learn exactly what they need to secure our border. Signed, Congressman August Pfluger, Republican, San Angelo. If they're going to be working with us, the governor of the state of Texas has to know exactly what they're doing. How many people are they bringing in here? Where are those people going? Where are they going after that? What type of COVID protocols are they using? What are they going to do to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 concerning all the people they are bringing into the state of Texas? There are so many questions that are completely unanswered by Biden administration and the danger that they are putting onto the backs of our fellow Texans. Signed, Governor Greg Abbott. The Biden administration has completely blindsided the state of Texas. It is dumping migrants at the feet of state and local officials, including in Midland, without proper information and resources. This is dangerous, especially as migrants are testing positive for COVID-19 at up to 7 times the rate of the U.S. population. President Biden must reverse his open border policies that have created this crisis and put the health and safety of the American people first. Signed, Jessica Skaggs, spokesperson for U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. This Saturday, the governor, myself, and local Midland officials were blindsided by the Biden administration and told us 700 juvenile immigrants would be placed in Midland County at a vacant oil and gas man camp. This decision by the Biden administration was sprung on Midland County literally overnight. Buses began arriving late Sunday evening. What I have been told in this issue was What I've been told is this issue was shopped around other Texas cities, but at no point was there a discussion between the Biden administration and local Midland officials. It was a one-sided decision, and for that I am furious. We have been working day and night to obtain the answers from the Biden administration and be assured that Midland residents are kept safe. I will be continuing to seek answers, ask the tough questions, and inform my constituents as more information becomes available. Signed, Texas Senator Kel Seliger, Republican Amarillo, on his Facebook page. The Biden administration is doing the best it can to pick up after Trump's failures. The Trump administration left a backlog of migrants for nearly a year now, and that is when the influx of migrants began. However, the real failure at the border is the fact that Republicans would much rather vilify immigrants than own up to the fact that they are not getting aid to the people who need it. More than 45,000 Texans have died needlessly because of the failed Republican response to this pandemic. That is a fact we cannot be distracted from, and Texas voters will not forget it. Signed, Texas Democratic Chair Gilberto Hinojosa. This article is entitled Things to Know. Who owns the man camp? Migrants are being held at the Cotton Logistics Facility, One Lodge Midland, which is located southwest of the city of Midland inside Midland County. The facility has been used for man camp style housing. Cotton Logistics, on its website, states it, quote, provides worldwide operational support and infrastructure for the shortages of temporary workforce housing, catering, and other resources associated with a catastrophic event, a large construction project, and for the complex and ever-changing work environments of the oil and gas industry, unquote. Attempt to reach officials at Cotton Logistics, a Katy-based company, were unsuccessful. Online, cottonlogistics.com. About why the county couldn't have stopped the move of migrants into Midland County. County officials said Monday they didn't have the authority to stop the use of the facility inside Midland County. Zoning laws aren't as strict inside the county as they are inside city limits, and County Attorney Russell Malm told the Reporter Telegram the man camp is basically a federal facility at this point. He added that any involvement by local officials would require an invitation or request from federal officials. Officials with the Department of Homeland Security are providing protection for the facility. What if a migrant needs attention? The Associated Press reported Monday that there are Red Cross officials on site. Midland Health officials stated Monday that they have not received any communication from federal officials concerning the migrant camp. Officials were blindsided. Officials with the city and county told the Reporter Telegram they were blindsided by the announcement by Governor Greg Abbott on Sunday that migrants would be sent to Midland. Representatives stated that neither heard about the federal government's plans until Sunday. This article is entitled, Abbott's Comments Began the Fed's Blindsiding of Midland County, by Stuart Doreen. During a Sunday morning conversation between Governor Greg Abbott and Maria Bartiromo, Midland County residents heard the crisis taking place on the border would hit close to home. Abbott stated during Sunday morning futures with Maria Bartiromo, he heard the night before that federal officials intended to ship migrants to a holding facility outside of the city of Midland. Community leaders and representatives were nearly unanimous in using the term blindsided to describe the announcement from the governor that federal officials were to move more than 700 juveniles. On Monday, there was not one who stated he or she heard anything prior to Abbott's statement to a national television audience. The Biden administration's lack of communication, coordination, and notification of their plans to place unaccompanied migrant children in Midland without consent of state and local government officials is completely unacceptable. And I am demanding immediate answers from both HHS and the Biden administration, Congressman August Pfluger wrote in a press release. Jessica Skaggs, spokesperson for U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, offered the Reporter Telegram this statement on Monday. The Biden administration has completely blindsided the state of Texas. It is dumping migrants at the feet of state and local officials, including in Midland, without proper information and resources. This is dangerous, especially as migrants are testing positive for COVID at up to 5 times the rate of the U.S. population. President Biden must reverse his open border policies that have created this crisis and put the health and safety of the American people first. Community officials have told the Reporter Telegram repeatedly during the last 12 months that this community had been hit with its fair share of haymakers. Prior to Sunday morning, that list included COVID, negative oil, an economic downturn, a fierce debate about masks, Midlanders being part of the storming of the U.S. Capitol, and the coldest week on record. Late Sunday night, the first wave of migrants arrived at a cotton logistics facility located southwest of the city of Midland, inside Midland County. The facility had previously been used for a man camp-style housing. Attempts to reach officials at Cotton Logistics, a Katy-based company, about the decision to partner with the federal government on such a massive undertaking were unsuccessful. The migrant situation has been the talk of many in Midland. Some were calling on Midland County officials to put a halt to the activity. As County Attorney Russell Malm told the Reporter Telegram, there was nothing that could be done. The former man camp might as well be a federal facility. Even those guarding the facility Monday weren't local, but Department of Homeland Security personnel. This decision by the Biden administration was sprung on Midland County literally overnight, stated Texas Senator Kel Seliger, Republican Amarillo, on his Facebook page Monday. Buses began arriving late Sunday evening. What I have been told is this issue was shopped around other Texas cities, but at no point was there a discussion between the Biden administration and local Midland officials. It was a one-sided decision, and for that, I am furious. This is the local and state page. This article is entitled, Midland COVID Report Shows Lowest Numbers of 2021, by Stuart Doreen. Midland County posted low marks for the number of confirmed COVID tests in a week this year, according to the Midland Health Department. The 104 confirmed cases involved Midland County residents last week was one lower than the 105 during the historically cold weather week in February, and 13 less than during the week of February 28th through March 6th. The Midland Health Department reported 317 confirmed tests during the first week of February and 821 during the first full week of January. The confirmed cases raised the total during the pandemic to 16,788 inside Midland County. Midland's COVID report last week also showed new lows for 2021 when it came to the fewest number of active COVID patients inside Midland Memorial Hospital, 130, the lowest percentage of COVID patients at MMH compared to total inpatients, 7%, the lowest number of people testing positive at Midland Health Testing Centers, 30, the lowest percentage testing positive at Midland Health Testing Centers, 5.2%, which was less than the 5.4% during the previous week. Midland health officials also showed officials administered 6,448 COVID vaccines at the Horseshoe Complex last week. That total brought the number of vaccinations at the Horseshoe during the pandemic to 36,156, and the total number of vaccinations overall to 62,498. The Midland Health Department reported 3 deaths on Monday. A woman in her 80s died Wednesday, a woman in her 70s died Saturday, and a male in his 70s died Sunday. All 3 had underlying health conditions. The total number of Midland County resident deaths during the pandemic rose to 245. Hospitalizations in Texas from COVID continue to drop. Austin, the number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in Texas has dropped below 4,000 for the first time since October. The Texas Department of Health and Human Services on Monday reported 3,980 hospitalizations. State health officials also reported 1,610 new confirmed and probable cases and 27 additional deaths from coronavirus. Over the past 2 weeks, the rolling average number of daily new cases in Texas has fallen by 2,921.3, a decrease of 39.1%, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. Over 2.8 million people in Texas are now fully vaccinated, and that's about 10% of the state's population. Johns Hopkins says that over 46,000 people have died from COVID-19 in Texas, the third highest death count in the country. Last week, Governor Greg Abbott ended the state's COVID-19 restrictions, including the state mask mandate. Many businesses, though, have kept their mask rules in place. This article is entitled Southeast Midland Restaurant Receives Expanded Alcohol Permit by Mella McEwen. Plans to expand a restaurant in Southeast Midland received approval at Monday's meeting of the Planning and Zoning Committee. Jorge Ramos, owner of La Cantina at 200 East Florida Avenue, had requested a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a bar. He currently has a designation allowing for the sale of beer and wine for on-premises consumption in a restaurant. The designation is also limited to an 1,140 square foot serviceable area and limited to sales of alcoholic beverages between 10 a.m. and midnight Monday through Saturday and noon to midnight Sunday. Ramos told commissioners he wants to develop La Cantina into a restaurant bar model. The requested designation would allow an alcohol serviceable area of 1,600 square feet out of a total of 3,058 square feet. Hours would also be extended to 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday through Sunday. After some discussion about the 2 a.m. closing and raising questions about whether other locations stayed open until 2 a.m., they were told some do. Commissioners approved the request by a 5-1 vote. Commissioners unanimously approved the request by Dominic Salinas, owner of Chaparral Tire Guys, for a temporary special permit for a manufactured home for a caretaker's, manager's, or guard's residence. Salinas told commissioners there have been several break-ins at the business, located at 1933 East Front Street, and he sought the temporary permit, good for only 2 years, to use the manufactured home as a residence for one of his employees who will act as on-site security. His request drew support from Midland City Council member Michael Trost, who told commissioners Salinas has, quote, done everything he's supposed to, unquote, to secure the property, and has also made significant improvements to the property since he purchased it in 2013. Commissioners also approved a request by the YMCA of Midland to replat several lots into one lot, a residential replat that required a hearing. Approved a request by L2 Diversified Investments for a zone change from LR, Local Retail District, to 2F, Two Family Dwelling District, in order to build a duplex at North Main Street and Elm Avenue. This article is entitled, Winter Storm Caused at Least 57 Deaths, with Most Fatalities Resulting from Hypothermia, by Sammy Sparber, Texas Tribune. At least 57 people died in Texas as a result of last month's winter storm, according to preliminary data the State Health Department released Monday. The largest number of deaths, at least 25, occurred in Harris County, the Texas Department of State Health Services reported. The deaths occurred in at least 25 counties between February 11th and March 5th, the state agency said. The majority of verified deaths were associated with hypothermia, but health officials also said some were caused by motor vehicle wrecks, carbon monoxide poisoning, medical equipment failure, falls, and fire. The preliminary data is subject to change as state disaster epidemiologists gather additional information and additional deaths are verified, the agency said. The information will be updated weekly, it said. The winter storm plunged large swaths of Texas into sub-freezing temperatures and overwhelmed the state's electricity infrastructure, causing massive power outages. At the height of the crisis, nearly 4.5 million Texas homes and businesses were without power. That's because nearly half of the total power generation capacity for the main state electricity grid was offline, as weather conditions caused failures in every type of power source, natural gas, coal, wind, and nuclear. Millions of Texans went days without power. In marathon legislative hearings, Texas lawmakers grilled public regulators and energy grid officials about how power outages happened and why Texans weren't given more warnings about the danger. But policy observers blamed the power system failure on the legislators and state agencies, who they say did not properly heed the warnings of previous storms or account for more extreme weather events warned of by climate scientists. Instead, Texas prioritized the free market. Still, lawmakers have called for investigations of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the nonprofit that operates the power grid spanning most of the state, and the Texas Public Utility Commission, which oversees the state's electric and water utilities. Two board members of the Utility Commission and six members of the ERCOT board resigned. The ERCOT CEO was fired after sharp criticism that they had not done enough to prepare for winter storms. Lawmakers have also filed a slate of bills in response to the power outages last month. The proposals include weatherizing the state's energy infrastructure to protect it from extreme weather, creating a statewide alert system for impending extreme events, and improving communication between the state agencies to better coordinate during disasters. On Monday, the Texas Senate suspended its own rules to quickly pass a bill to force the state's utility regulator to reverse billions of dollars in charges for the wholesale electricity during the winter storm. The cost of electricity during the winter storm has emerged as a surprise hot-button issue in this year's legislative session after an independent market monitor estimated that the electric grid operator overbilled power companies around the time of the storm. This is the opinion page. This column is called Opinion Extra. It is entitled, Washington, D.C. Doesn't Care About Midland's Migrant Problem, by Stuart Doreen. Officials in Washington are incapable of finding a solution to immigration, and that is a problem. We didn't need the situation with a man camp turned migrant holding facility to have taken place to know this country has an issue with its southern border. But for many in Midland County, the latest development puts more perspective on how broke the system has been and continues to be. The problem is that neither party really wants to solve the problem. Both sides are not wanting to offend their party flanks, and the sense of urgency really will never be there. How can that be when the number of migrants arriving at the border doubled year over year in February, one might ask? Because for all the hard talk about immigration, it really isn't a priority, and it is hard to think when it has been. For all their finger-pointing, Democrats don't want to solve the problem. If they had, they would have passed through legislation when they control the House, Senate, and executive branch during President Obama's first 2 years. They didn't. Why solve the problem when the problem, they believe, is a political benefit? But geography appears to be the greatest problem when it comes to solving a problem. Every 4 years, our political process goes through presidential elections, but border states have little influence in the process of selecting nominees or the president. Border states are nowhere to be found in the early part of the primary calendar, and the most populous of the states, California and Texas, are decided well in advance of Election Day. Not having politicians come through our states and asking for our votes means our issues aren't heard. When our issues aren't heard, real solutions aren't crafted. No solutions mean more problems. This wasn't our first crisis at the border and won't be our last. We are also impacted by NIMBY, not in my backyard, or the lack thereof. Americans, especially those in the East and Northeast, in places like Washington, D.C., New York City, and other major metropolitan areas, aren't impacted by immigration enough to make it a priority. They know immigration is someone else's problem. And as long as those areas remain disinterested, all we will have is talk. The truth is, we need to solve the situation at the border. It is a health, national security, and humanitarian issue. This country also needs to know the people currently in our country. We can't be afraid of instituting strict E-Verify programs, guest worker programs, and providing opportunity for those who want to work in our country. We should make residency available or attainable for those who choose to be productive. Citizenship? That should be tougher to attain, and no group of immigrants should have an easier or tougher time achieving citizen status. It should be difficult because the rewards are so great. What is happening in Midland County should concern residents here. But if it hadn't happened here, it would have happened elsewhere. That is because we have a crisis at the border that no one wants to take ownership of. It is a Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California issue, not one in Washington, D.C. Until it really impacts lawmakers in D.C., this crisis will just be the latest. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, March 16th. Jimmy Santiago Alvarez. Jimmy Santiago Alvarez, 61, passed away unexpectedly Monday, March 8th. Jimmy was born on January 20th, 1960, in San Angelo, Texas, to Rafael and Jane Alvarez. He is preceded in death by his father, Rafael Alvarez. Leaving behind his beloved wife of 29 years, Amanda, four daughters, Jessica Alvarez, Andy, Olivia Hinojosa, Justin, and Alicia Alvarez, Isaac, and Alex Alvarez, Gabriel. One son, Juan Antonio Lira, three grandsons, three granddaughters, four sisters, Maria Bailey, Roy, Amanda Alvarez, Gina, Sylvia Smith Nolan, and Diana Rios, Alfred, one brother, Johnny Alvarez, Sylvia, and several nieces and nephews. Visitation will be held on Sunday, March 14th at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home from 12 to 9 p.m. Funeral services will be held on Monday, March 15th at Heavenly Gates Chapel at 1 o'clock with Pastor Harvey Enriquez officiating. Burial to follow at Serenity Cemetery. Funeral service is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. John Mark Sanderford. John Mark Sanderford, age 61, died unexpectedly on March 13th in Midland. John was born on September 27, 1959, in Montevideo, Uruguay, the fourth child of Matthew and Dora Jean Sanderford. He is survived by his wife Susan of Midland, Texas, his son Stephen Hooker and wife Mandy of Mansfield, Texas, his daughter Sherry Joyce and husband Casey of Bethany, Missouri, and their three children Levi, Lizzie, and Logan. He is also survived by his brother, Matthew Sanderford, and wife Margarita of Weatherford, his sister Sharon Jean Cummings and husband Larry of Round Rock, his sister Lee Bell Ulvestad and husband Greg of Midland, and numerous nieces and nephews. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 17th at Wilshire Park Baptist Church with Pastor Glenn Pipes officiating. In lieu of flowers, contributions may be made to the Life Center, 2101 West Wall Street, Midland, Texas, 79701. Or Wilshire Park Baptist Church, Missions, 801 South Bentwood, Midland, Texas, 79703. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Robert Marks Walter. Robert Marks Walter was born into this world on October 19, 1955, and entered into the eternal rest of his Lord and Savior on February 4, 2021. A celebration of life and life eternal will be held at Mid-Cities Church, Neely Campus, 3309 Neely Avenue, Midland, on March 20th at 1 p.m.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 16th, 2021. Officials want answers on migrants. By Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Migrant children and teenagers from the southern border are processed after entering the site of a temporary holding facility Sunday night along Farm Road 1788, south of Midland. With unaccompanied minors unexpectedly being detained in Midland County, city and county officials said Monday they are still seeking answers. Mayor Patrick Payton, County Judge Terry Johnson, and other elected officials held a news conference Monday at the Bush Convention Center in Midland to answer what questions they could. John Byers, Chief of Staff for U.S. Representative August Pfluger, along with top law enforcement officers, also attended. "This is frankly an outrage," Byers said. "We were not consulted. We were not asked our opinion. It was not asked to local law enforcement what they thought. We found out in the middle of the night on Sunday night that this was coming to the community. We're doing the best we can to fact find and understand what exactly the community should be expecting in the coming days and weeks. Some answers are available, but a lot are not. And I know the community is dying for answers to these critical questions. We're going to keep asking them. We're going to keep asking the tough questions of what screenings were considered for the migrant populations, how many should be expected in this community, who exactly we're dealing with, and where exactly they're coming from," Byers added. He said Pfluger went to El Paso Monday with a congressional delegation to work with the Border Patrol and find out what they need to secure the southern border and keep Texas communities safe. "We need to send a message to the administration that Texas right now is in crisis. This is a crisis on our southern border. It's a disorder at the border by executive order, and it needs to stop. We need to bring certainty to Texas. We need to bring certainty to the border situation. We're not afraid to call it a crisis. It needs to be addressed immediately, and it's not fair that Midland has found itself in this situation. We're not going to stop asking the tough questions. Congressman Pfluger is doing it in El Paso. He's on his way back as we speak, and we will be at the facility this evening," Byers said. Johnson said Cotton Logistics Man Camp is a nice facility, and the company operates worldwide. They have military contracts and with Schlumberger, for example. "These kids will have nothing to want for once they get there, but that's not what's at stake here. What's at stake is our community. How long is this going to last? I can ask all the questions you guys can ask. We were asked if they were vetted, but Johnson said that question wasn't answered." In addition to Pfluger, Johnson said local officials have contacted State Representative Tom Craddock, R. Midland, Senator Kel Seliger, R. Amarillo, and U.S. Senator John Cornyn, R. Texas, to name a few. "They're trying really hard to get answers. As soon as we get them, we'll be glad to give them to you. But just bear with us while we work through this," Johnson added. Payton noted that no one was consulted before the immigrants arrived Sunday night. He urged people to contact their congressional representatives about this situation. "Just to send a few things straight, I know there's a lot of rumors out there about what kind of kids are out there, who's out there. We don't know anything about the vetting," Payton said. He added that things are changing all the time. "We can't even get a direct answer from any of the various organizations that work for the federal government," Payton said. "We're not getting anything directly from the administration." Payton said it looks like the ages of the migrants are 13 to 17, and it appears at this point that they are all male. Payton said he has been on the phone with Craddock. I asked him, Craddock, to begin working with Attorney General Ken Paxton to see if there's anything we could put in place for a stay, realizing that we are dealing with the federal government, Payton said. He added that the migrants are adolescents who are victims of what's happening around them. I hope that all of us as West Texans understand we are dealing with minors. We're dealing with kids that, if they were in our school system, would be occupying our junior highs, our freshman schools, and some in our high schools, who, through no choice of their own, or through some manipulative choice, have become pawns in this national crisis that has been unleashed on us by the policies of Biden, Payton said. That's the one issue we need to keep in mind and in our hearts are these kids, he added. He said as soon as they find out if anything needs to be done for the children, he knows the community will band together to do what's needed. The other issue is the federal issue, which is a complete tragedy, which is a complete overreach and a complete abuse of our community. Fortunately, we don't have it as bad as Dallas does. It was just released on the AP network that 3,000 kids are headed to the Dallas Convention Center to be sheltered in the Dallas Convention Center, Payton said. He added that this isn't just a crisis on the border, but a humanitarian crisis. Johnson said they were told Sunday that there will be 700 migrants, and there are about 240 at the camp now. A 10-foot security fence will be built around the entire campus, but those kids can still jump and run. Officials said they think the federal government is setting up for the long term. They weren't given any details about the migrants and were told some had tested positive for COVID-19. Governor Greg Abbott issued a statement on the unaccompanied minor crisis Monday as well, echoing many of the same sentiments and questions local officials have. As the governor of Texas, my responsibility is the health and safety of our citizens, and the Biden administration's lack of planning has created a public health and safety emergency in our communities. Is the federal government tracking what countries these children are coming from and what COVID-19 variants they might have been exposed to? How long will these children be held in Texas? Are these children receiving COVID-19 tests? And how is the Biden administration handling those who test positive? Is the federal government conducting contact tracing and following CDC quarantine protocols? The answers to these questions affect the health and safety of our communities, and Texans deserve answers. But more than that, the American people deserve action from this administration. Texas is putting President Biden on notice that his policies are risking the health and safety of Texans and putting children at risk from cartels and human traffickers, Abbott said in the statement. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said in a statement that it aggressively works with interagency partners to ensure that unaccompanied migrant children, UC, are safe and unified with family members or other suitable sponsors as quickly and safely as possible. As a result of the compelling need to minimize UC presence at CBP, Customs and Border Protection facilities, and to provide a much more suitable environment and improved conditions at ORR facilities relative to CBP facilities, HHS Office of Refugee Resettlement, ORR, is opening an emergency intake site in Midland, Texas, on Sunday, March 14, 2021. The site in Midland, Texas, offers hard-sided shelter space for the children, the statement said. The immediate need for the emergency intake site is the result of the rapid increase in the pace of referrals of UC from DHS to ORR for care. The site will provide a safer and less overcrowded environment where children are cared for and processed as quickly as possible, and either released to a sponsor or transferred to an ORR shelter for longer-term care. The emergency intake site is intended for use as a temporary measure, the statement said. It adds that the emergency intake site will provide required standards of care for children, such as providing clean and comfortable sleeping quarters, meals, toiletries, laundry, and access to medical services. A COVID-19 health screening protocol for all children will be implemented to follow CDC guidelines for preventing and controlling communicable diseases. Services will be provided by a combination of the American Red Cross, contractors, and federal staff, including teams from the HHS Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response and the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps, it stated. It continued, efforts will be made to safely release children to sponsors or transfer them to other ORR. This approach will help decrease overcrowding at the CBP facilities and ensure children are moved into ORR shelters, where children receive educational, medical, mental health, and recreational services until they can be unified with families or sponsors without undue delay. HHS will utilize all available options to care for the children referred to us safely. These options include both short-term and long-term solutions. In the short term, we can assure children do not spend more time in Border Patrol facilities than necessary by looking at all opportunities to increase our permanent/licensed network and use influx facilities when additional space is immediately needed. Simultaneously, ORR is committed to aggressively moving toward the long-term goal of acquiring enough state-licensed beds in our care provider network to reduce the need for influx facilities. Additional shelter capacity will minimize the likelihood that children remain in Border Patrol stations longer than necessary and enhance child welfare for the vulnerable population of unaccompanied children. HHS will keep Congress, state, and local officials informed of future actions concerning UC matters throughout our care provider network, the statement said. Water Plant on Work Session Agenda by Federico Martinez, FMARTINEZ at OAOA.com. New members of Odessa City Council will get their first look at a proposed $95 million major rehabilitation plan of the current water treatment plant during a work session meeting at 3 p.m. today. The virtual meeting can be viewed on the city's WebEx system. The proposed project would include extensive upgrades to the current plant's electrical and computer systems, chemical feed and filter systems, and chemical storage facility, Public Works Director Tom Kerr said. We're talking about pretty antiquated systems that we're not really able to fix anymore, Kerr said. The new council wanted to find out more about the proposal because their question is, why not just build a new plant, which would cost substantially more? The city launched a viability study in 2016 that determined it would cost less to renovate the current plant, which could continue to meet the city's needs for many decades to come, Kerr said. The first portion of the plant was constructed in 1956 and a second addition added in 1962. We've done several smaller renovations over the years, Kerr said, but we've reached a point where overall the building has aged to a point where we need to do more. Many of the proposed improvements are desperately needed to meet state requirements, Kerr said. The project would likely have to be paid with bond dollars, something that council will also need to discuss Tuesday or in the near future, Kerr said. Council will also discuss a $4,964,777 bid by Onyx Construction of Midland to complete Phase 2 renovations at Floyd Gwynn Park. The park site renovations planned for Phase 2 include 3 lighted baseball fields complex, lighted walking trails, lighted parking lots, irrigation system, picnic pavilions, additional playground equipment, swimming pool perimeter fencing, and electrical service upgrades, Odessa Parks and Recreation Director Steve Patton said. City officials had initially estimated the cost of the project to be $8,384,200, a pleased Patton said. The bids came in much lower than expected, Patton said. We were very fortunate. If approved by council during their March 23rd meeting, construction would begin in late spring or early summer, Patton said. This particular phase also includes the fencing and athletic field lighting installation at Sherwood Park Baseball Complex that is needed to complete the 4th baseball field, Patton said. Phase 1 renovations for Floyd Gwynn Park, which were previously approved by council, will begin March 22nd and will include 3 lighted volleyball courts, 3 lighted basketball courts, and 2 lighted tennis courts. Both Phase 1 and 2 work is expected to be completed in 1 year. A groundbreaking ceremony for both project phases is scheduled for 2 p.m. Wednesday in front of the park's gymnasium. Floyd Gwynn Park, the second largest park in Ector County, has an illustrious history, Patton said. The park, located at 10th and West County Road, was once the site of the county's first airport. In the 1940s, the airport was converted into Floyd Gwynn Park, Patton said. An auditorium on the site once hosted a concert by a young Elvis Presley after he was discharged from the military. But the park has not received any major renovations in more than 40 years, Patton said. The renovations are desperately needed, Patton said. The park receives heavy use. These would be the first major improvements to the park in 40 years. 409 days. For 409 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 16,462 total cases, 342 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 3 students, 0 staff. Midland County, 16,699 total cases, 254 deaths. Texas, 2,727,462 total cases, 46,423 deaths. U.S. cases, 29,269,590 total confirmed, and 532,355 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com. Y6NTPTUQ. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital is administering COVID-19 first dose Pfizer vaccines from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at MCH urgent care locations at 3001 JBS Parkway and at 6030 West University Boulevard. vaccines are for phase 1A frontline workers and residents at long-term care facilities, and phase 1B, most at risk and for ages 65 and older. No appointment is necessary and walk-ins are welcome. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. Visit mchodessa.com/coronavirus. Quick hits. Reduce, reuse campaign. Keep Odessa Beautiful are accepting gently used items at the Household Hazardous Waste Facility, 814 West 42nd Street. Items collected will be donated to local nonprofit organizations. Items can consist of coffee tables, small appliances, bedroom furniture, end tables, lamps, dressers, cabinets, books, or dining room furniture. Items may be dropped off from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, and from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. When dropping off, tag KOB on social media for a chance to enter a drawing for a prize at Keep Odessa Beautiful, or email picture to kob@odessa-tx.gov. From staff reports. Closing prices. Posted $61.87. Futures $65.39. Natural gas $2.484. Benchmark U.S. fell 22 cents to $65.39 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.